Moncrief on News Talk.
Oh, you're the ex-cop. I heard you requested my squad. Why do you want to work down here? Why do you want to work in the basement on sex crimes and crimes against children? Do you hate yourself? Don't answer that. I got an idea. Why don't you go to white collar crimes, meet your future husband?
I'm not here looking for a husband. I just need information about Adrian Murado. You suspected him of trafficking girls. I think it's possible that one of the girls he trafficked might have killed him. Adrian Murado died of an overdose about a year ago, but the details of his death are similar to the recent homicide of Caleb Easton. Both victims have a girlfriend who no one had met, and both times the girlfriend disappeared.
So you think it's the girlfriend? And you think she's a serial killer?
There you go. That's Furious. You can stream from today on Disney Plus. James Dempsey joins us once again. Afternoon, James.
Afternoon.
Okay, so what's the basic concept here? This is have they made a TV show about this before?
It feels like, well, I mean, it's about a femme fatale going around just killing various men. And yeah. I think we have encountered that a few times, but it is inspired by a movie from 1987 called Black Widow with Deborah Winger, which I'm not at all familiar with.
All right.
But you can sort of glean what it's about based on the title Black Widow. So in the clip there, we heard Emmy Rossum as Agent Alice Black. She is a kind of trainee Clarice Starling type, you know, just newly in receipt of her badge or whatever you get in the FBI, and is on probation, and she gets pulled back by an old colleague of hers into a Brooklyn homicide, and she begins to put the pieces together and is sort of following in the track of Northern Irish actress Lola Pettigrew, who plays Catherine, who is our femme fatale, shall we say.
Okay.
Now, of course, there's an awful lot more to it than that, and I think to even go into anything more than that would be borderline spoiler territory, so I'm not going to touch that. But this comes from Elizabeth Merriweather, and her own kind of TV creation history is a bit of an unusual track as well, because her first big hit was New Girl, the Zooey Deschanel sitcom about 15 years ago, I'd say, and then has moved into more kind of serious stuff since then, making The Dropout about Elizabeth Holmes, the Theranos woman, and Dying for Sex last year. And this is kind of a real gritty murder mystery, Scandi-noir style, right, but like set in New York City. Now, it's not to say that it is completely bereft of humour. There's definitely moments of comic relief without, but this is intense and creepy and kind of that kind of vibe. And that sort of seems odd for particularly the summer that we're having. But yet, I have to admit that I found these first three episodes very, very, very gripping when I was watching them this morning. Because it is that old school kind of like Mayor of Easttown style detective on the hunt, trying to find who's involved, putting the pieces together. While this time around, we have the killer who we are also following, and her story being told to us in drips and drabs, and why she's on this killing spree, I'm going to say, right, is explained to us in such a way that you are beginning to sort of not necessarily sympathise, but comprehend exactly what's going on. What I really found most striking about it was kind of the unusual casting that they have of people in it, right? So we also heard in the clip there Quincy Tyler Bernstein. That's not a name that I was familiar with before I looked it up on the internet today, nor an actress I'm particularly familiar with, but she's a very celebrated theatre actress, has won numerous off-Broadway awards.
That's a great name, Quincy Tyler Bernstein. You know who you're related to.
And for me, you know, she plays Nora, who's this older FBI agent that sort of takes Alice under her wing. She is sort of a real standout performance among the performers. There's also a great turn by Rob Delaney, Rob Yang, who you'd know from Succession, Jake Lacy, who is kind of getting a bit typecast. Yeah, he was in All Her Fault and The White Lotus. He's kind of becoming Hollywood's go-to nice guy, but with an edge of something wrong to him as well.
Okay.
And then the disabled actor Steve Way appears in the third episode. He's absolutely fantastic as well. All in, they just cast these unusual people in unusual parts that you wouldn't expect to see them in, and yet they all rise to the challenge. Look, it's early days yet, so it could all completely fall apart, and don't blame me if it does, but as an opening introduction to this world, I thought it was promising.
Yeah, The Guardian was raving about it, I must say, and was saying this could be the you know,
perhaps
the show of the summer. Perhaps, yes. Right, our second show is Ride or Die. You can stream all episodes of season one on Prime Video. Here's a clip.
Do you know you have guns in the cooker?
Yes.
Who are you?
I'm the same person I've always been, Deb. I'm your friend. I'm exactly who you think I am.
Look at where we are. What kind of person lives like this? The person I was friends with isn't real. You lied to me. Wait, where are you going?
I need to go into work and find out who left me this. Okay, now will you please just take a shower? There's plenty of food in, and I will get back to you as soon as I can.
I am not staying here.
Well, you can't come with me, and I can't leave you anywhere else. I have to keep you safe.
Right, that's Ride or Die. Are we in kind of similar territory here? Maybe different tonally.
But very much different tonally. But yes, again, another. It's going to be a very female-led week this week in general. But yes, this is a female-led kind of buddy drama. I'm not going to say cop because neither of them are cops. But it stars Hannah Waddingham, who people will know from Ted Lasso and the Eurovision a couple of years ago. And Octavia Spencer, Oscar-winning actress from many other things, to help, Shape of Water, etc. They play friends living in London. They've been friends for 20 years. Debbie, played by Octavia, she is an MP's wife and essentially a bit of a like kingpin placer politically, with the attempt to make her husband be the next prime minister. And given how it goes in the UK,
how hard could that be? Right?
Yeah, right. But anyway, Hannah Waddingham plays Judith, also known as Whiptail. She is unknown to, well, obviously unknown to Debbie, a top international assassin working for an international assassin company, killing people.
What's her cover story? Essentially,
Debbie is her cover story. She pretends to be a forensic accountant, and she has this tight friendship with Debbie, and that. But the friendship is giving her more than just a cover story.
Yeah.
Anyway, a mysterious figure begins to target both of them one evening while they're at a water gala event thing in the first episode, and that kicks off then another, I think, seven episode run as they go on the run around Europe, try to track down who's trying to murder them, and then deal with this breakdown in their friendship where you find out that your friend is an assassin who has killed countless people.
I think we heard that clip. Well, if you were an assassin, how could you miss Hannah Waddingham? She's like, you know, she's like 3 foot taller than anyone else in the room.
And in fairness, she is believable, right?
Yeah,
like, I mean, in a kind of, you know, tongue-in-cheek James Bondy way, right?
Yes,
like, she is this tall, statuesque, and they go to great lengths, woman of a certain age. They, you know, they make reference to that in the show, but has this incredible physicality about her. And she pulls off, you know, the fight choreo. I mean, she is a trained musical theater dancer and singer.
Yeah.
So the choreo comes quite easily to her. But like, it is believable. It is believable as this show is believable.
Yeah.
What I found worked less was actually Octavia Spencer. Not that there's anything wrong with her. She's a really funny comedian. But the kind of jokes for her part don't come regularly enough. She has the harder role to play, right? She's the straight woman against the, you know, spy, right?
Yeah.
And normally in a show in a movie or a show like this, it would be a romantic couple and not a friendship, right? That would be creating the peril if you think of like True Lies or something like that, right? So there is a novelty in the fact that it's these two 50-something friends. But Octavia Spencer's Debbie kind of gets sidelined. Like, we know that she's like a really gifted lawyer, that she understands politically how to do things. Even in her opening scene, we see her kind of like parking a car in a space where these men are like, oh, you're never going to fit in there, love, type thing. But then she never gets to kind of use those skills.
Well, good at parking, isn't I? Aha! She'll park her way out of this one.
Well, you know. Right? But my biggest issue with the show overall is there are too many episodes, right? At eight hours in total, they add an awful lot of subplots involving this, you know, this firm of assassins that she's working for, various red herrings along the way, multiple stops in European countries that kind of don't necessarily go anywhere. And all in, I feel it could have been a lot tighter, and if it had a few funnier jokes, it would be a lot funnier. But it's not bad. But,
yeah.
This is going to sound terrible, but like, if you have a flight to catch, this would be perfect to download and watch while you're, you know, 30,000 feet in the air, because it's that kind of low stakes. You don't need to really invest too much in it. But it will surprise you from time to time. There's very good chemistry between its leads, but like, it's not unmissable to you.
Yeah. But are they kind of trotting around European capitals and staying in fabulous hotels kind of thing?
Not so much the fabulous hotels, but they are on the run, on the lam around Europe, hunting down various people. So, you know, we get to see lots of sets that look a little bit like Spain, you know.
Oh, really?
France, et cetera, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not on location, you don't think?
I don't think so.
Yeah, because I was thinking, though, in that kind of... in those kind of shows or films, you go, who's paying for all this?
Well, in fairness, they actually do explain how they are financing their ways.
All right, yes. Okay, well, I'll watch it then, just for that alone. Right, our third show is Don't Date Brandon. It's on Thursdays at 10 p.m. on Channel 4. Here's a clip.
Brandon was the full package. He was vulnerable, open, funny, honest, charming. I was so smitten that I just felt like I met my guy. But he's not even close to the person that I thought he was.
Brandon put me through 15 years of hell. We appeared like the all-American, good-looking couple, married, two children. But on the inside, it couldn't be further from the truth.
There you go. So the opening statement about Brandon obviously is to be taken with a pinch of salt. So this is based on a podcast?
Kind of, right? So this is a true crime drama, and we've had an unusually strong year of true crime, I would say, in general, in terms of like the big heavy hitters being, you know, Should I Marry a Murderer? All Netflix-based, I would say, Should I Marry a Murderer? The Crash and Maternal Instinct, all these very interesting and curious and terribly sad stories. And this feels like a real throwback to like true crime from about 2004, because it is the most, not because of the story. The story in and of itself is, of course, interesting. Otherwise, it wouldn't have turned it into something. Hmm. But it's just how it's told that's not very compelling. So it is about, who we heard in the clip there are Amber and Athena, the second and first wife, respectively, of the aforementioned Brandon. And he is, he is not a good man, is all I'm going to say, because more than that would perhaps spoil what has happened to him. But essentially, where I think the most fascinating part of the story lies is that they were so aggrieved that they came together, having dumped him, and started a podcast to encourage other women not to date this man and also to bring forward any information that they had on him.
Okay.
And that in and of itself is sort of a hook, right, that you can build a true crime documentary about. Instead, here we get this very straightforward 2010s-esque true crime documentary where you have talking heads that are very glossy, and then I did this, and then he did that, and then I did this, and then he did that, and they're just playing, you know, flashing photographs of Brandon in the background while they're doing all of this, and eventually we get into the third episode where something a bit more a bit more shocking and more interestingly told happens, but it just is very convenient that the producers were able to get the footage that they got, and I won't go into more than that. All in, like, it just feels like a surprise old-fashioned piece of true crime media, because I feel we've moved beyond the kind of, let's just tell the story. The story here is one of, like, you know, partners lying to you, partners gaslighting you, partners coercively controlling you, and all of that is absolutely worthwhile to tell, and it's worthy for us to learn the lessons and what to look out for. But as a viewer of this kind of genre, this is not an interesting way to tell that story.
Yeah. Can we infer that Brandon did something that was criminal?
Yes, we can. Yes.
Okay, all right, fair enough. So that's why they're looking for more information on him. It's odd though that, you know, it's a very 21st century thing that two women meet who've had a collective trauma, and the first thing they do is make a podcast about it rather than, I don't know, go for counselling together or anything like that. So did they make this series themselves, or did Channel 4 make it?
No. It was originally made for Paramount Plus, but never screened on our version of Paramount Plus, screened elsewhere in the world, and it's coming now to Channel 4. It's the only place in the UK and Ireland where you can view it.
Right, okay, that's all. We'll be on channel4.com, one assumes, after that point. Right, so those three shows are Furious. You can stream from today on Disney Plus, and that's the first three episodes, is it, James? Ride or Die, you can stream the entire series of season one on Prime Video, and Don't Date Brandon, that's on Thursdays at 10 p.m. On Channel 4. James Dempsey, thanks a million.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.